Hello and welcome to the 2019 F1 Strategy Report. My name's Michael Amanato, and today we're recapping the 2018 Singapore and Russian Grand Prix for Heeltread Motorsport socks. Go to heeltread.com. Sebastian Vettel was expected to make inroads on Lewis Hamilton's 30-point championship lead at the 2018 Singapore Grand Prix, but right from the beginning, Ferrari's weekend began unravelling. Car upgrades weren't working as expected, and Vettel's crash in Practice 2, the only representative nighttime session, meant he was underprepared for qualifying and the race. Then, in Q2, Ferrari sent Vettel out on the slower tyre, which meant he only just made it through to the top 10 shootout, but by then Hamilton and even Max Verstappen had the momentum to lock out the front row. Let's revisit how the weekend unfolded with eRacing magazine editor Trent Price.
Did it seem like a weird decision then that Ferrari would try the same thing in the way more competitive second segment?
Well, if you were to look at their practice and how much Ferrari was in front, at that stage, because Mercedes had used the slower tyre, Ferrari would have had no real reason to think that they would have lost so much time. Because if you look at Red Bull and Mercedes, they gain either a second or second and a bit in that session, whereas Ferrari only gained about half a second ultimately when they use the right tyres. Mm-hmm. But also, having lost that time in practice, Vettel was saying, we've got all the data off the other teams, no worries. Mm-hmm. We'll know what the tyres are going to do. So probably those two things combined, and I guess the frantic pace of qualifying, probably just confounded them a little bit.
Qualifying was 50% of the work, I suppose, at a street circuit like this, but the other 50% happened in that first stint up to that first strategy call. He did overtake Max Verstappen. Hamilton got a good enough start that it was never really in doubt. He left Vettel and Verstappen to fight amongst themselves. And this game of tyre management was really well and truly afoot, especially for the top 10. Really unusual that we see in Formula One this season, the top six cars in particular, not pulling away from the midfield, but that's how extreme it was.
The commentators always try to drive it up, oh, this could happen, they're closing, but I mean, you saw what happened with Hamilton when he needed to pull out a gap. Mm. He pulled out 2 seconds. We knew he had pace to burn, but just chose not to do it, quite understandably.
And this is where Ferrari had a decision to make, because Sebastian Vettel tried to catch up and didn't have the same life left in his hypersoft tyres that Lewis Hamilton did. Ferrari decided to try the undercut, considering that they knew Vettel would be out of reach, certainly of the undercut, before too long, and then what tyre to use. And this was the critical moment of Vettel's race, really, as critical as it could be in a one-stop Grand Prix. And they brought him in, and the first thing that made this seem like maybe a questionable call was that they switched to the ultra-soft rather than the soft to give a bit of an undercut advantage.
Yes, but then it turned into a bit of an Abu Dhabi 2010, again, getting stuck behind Perez.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right. Which was the second questionable part of this call. He didn't pull off the undercut on Hamilton. Truth be told, he was never really close enough. What you're really gambling on in that situation is that you put the other driver under a little bit of a pressure. Maybe the pit mechanics make a bit of a mistake in the change and you win a bit of time there. He only gained a couple of tenths. He needed to gain around 3 seconds by that point. But he came out of the pits about 7 seconds behind Perez, yeah. Caught up to him by the end of the lap. That was didn't really influence that he didn't catch Hamilton at all, but did influence what Red Bull Racing did next, which was to be terrifically opportunistic with Max Verstappen.
Yeah, I think it was 2 to 3 laps he was stuck behind.
Yeah, it was
Perez.
About 2.5, I think.
Yeah, which gave Max enough time to go in, come out, and just come out side by side with Vettel, but they crucially have the inside line to turn 3. I think that's the exit of turn 3. So held his ground, and that was all she wrote.
So the key question here, I suppose, given that... Okay, we can say he was gambling, attempting to gamble for a lead. It was unlikely, given that, I mean, Mercedes and Hamilton are operating at such a high level at the moment, against the fact that he would have to pass Sergio Perez. Do you think either Ferrari lost track of the broader game here, getting caught behind Perez? Do you think it was a fair gamble to make, or do you think maybe it was worth just waiting a couple of extra laps? It probably would have only taken 2 to 3 to pass Perez in the pit stop window and then pit, but maintain second position and not have a crack at the lead.
It's a hard one, because Mercedes have got that luxury now. Well, they go, oh, if we do this, we do this, it'll be fine. If we lose out, not a problem. But I think they've just got one thing in mind. It's simply, we have to beat Lewis, and he's out front. So you lose that objectivity mm-hmm. when you're in that mind frame. And I think that's just driving everything they do.
So Vettel's title deficit ballooned to 40 points. And things didn't get much better for Ferrari in Russia, with the team woefully off the pace from the start. But it was Valtteri Bottas, not Hamilton, who was quickest for Mercedes, paving the way for the season's highest profile team orders controversy as the team sought to protect Hamilton's championship lead. At lights out, Bottas led Hamilton and Vettel off the line cleanly. So let's pick up the story with Rob James from Box of Neutrals.
This was the sixth last race of the season, the Russian Grand Prix. It was billed essentially as a must-win Grand Prix for Sebastian Vettel. He did not win the must-win Grand Prix. Ferrari didn't have the fastest car in the way they sort of have for the last good few months. But were you surprised by just how far off the pace Ferrari was?
I think they were lucky that Red Bull were very much behind the eight ball in terms of their engine penalties. Yeah. I think had they gone in there with a normal mindset and not taken a raft of penalties for that weekend, I don't think we probably would have seen a Ferrari on the podium, such as their pace.
The only sort of problem that Mercedes had as a front row lockout was that Valtteri Bottas was on pole, which is the driver that's not in the championship. Already rumours started immediately that team orders would be enacted at some point, and we'll get into this issue in more detail momentarily, but Valtteri Bottas pit first, but then Sebastian Vettel and Ferrari went for the undercut. Unusually though, given the undercut's a pretty standard procedure and it's fairly easy to cover them off as well, you just pit on the next lap. Mercedes didn't do it. They left Lewis Hamilton out for an extra lap, so he pitted the lap after Sebastian Vettel did. And that momentarily lost him a position. Weird situation, given I know Valtteri Bottas was obviously in the lead and perhaps they were prepared to let him win at that point, but you still do have your championship fight going on with Lewis Hamilton and Sebastian Vettel. Did you feel like they dropped the ball a little bit there? Their eye was a bit distracted in what was ultimately the more important battle of this race.
We're talking about very fine margins here where, you know, Sebastian Vettel only just got ahead of Lewis Hamilton mm-hmm. by the slimmest of margins after his pit stop, so it could have gone either way. And in this case, Ferrari very much won that battle.
Didn't last very long, though, for Lewis Hamilton to have net third place behind Sebastian Vettel. I think Vettel made a mistake at turn 13 of that very first lap, Lewis's outlap, that let him follow him around. Turn 2, there was a bit of aggressive defending from Sebastian Vettel. It was cleared by the stewards, that was fine, but Hamilton got past at turn 4. But what he had to do to get past him so quickly was really use those soft tyres very hard and very quickly, considering they'd only just come out of the pit lane. They still needed to be warmed up because they were quite durable for this particular circuit. And suddenly there was a little bit of blistering on that rear left tyre. The blistering is what ultimately led to the lap 25 decision for Bottas to swap. He did it very obviously. I do like it when a team order is enacted obviously by the driver stopping, as if just to make sure everybody knows that he's being asked to do this. But eventually Sebastian Vettel, I mean, he showed that either because Ferrari didn't really have the pace, they were thereabouts, but I think Lewis Hamilton said after the race you need nearly 1.5 seconds advantage to make any passing happen on this track, and Ferrari obviously didn't have that kind of advantage. The threat subsided, at which point obviously Lewis Hamilton had managed the tyres fine in the clear air, which was the idea Mercedes said it had when it wanted to enact that team order. Valtteri Bottas still very much felt like, not that he was owed the victory, but that he'd done enough to earn the victory at this race, and radioed rather forlornly asking whether or not the positions would be switched back. There's obviously the championship context to this. Lewis Hamilton's vying with Sebastian Vettel and Valtteri is not for the Drivers' Championship. But given this was Valtteri's probably cleanest, most complete weekend of the year, I think certainly, do you feel like he was entitled to have that win handed back to him, given the difference between first and second from Lewis Hamilton's perspective was only 7 points? It would have been 43 rather than 50 points over Vettel.
Oh, I think the concept of handing positions back a little bit ridiculous. Mm-hmm. If you're going to pass someone, do it properly. And if you're going to pass someone, make it stick. Mm-hmm. So you put in that position. I mean, how many other... Imagine the multi-21 situation in Malaysia. Imagine if they had that altercation, mm-hmm. Vettel and Webber. And then, oh no, okay, I've been told off, you can have it back. It just kind of, it ruins a bit of the drama and the spectacle of the sport.
It's interesting, and this has happened before this season. There's maybe not so much that necessarily has to be read into it, but I find it interesting that Mercedes this year, from what we've heard obviously through the broadcast anyway, has on more than one occasion had people, not the driver engineers, radioing the drivers in situations of, I suppose, attention. We know Austria was the famous one, right? When James Vowles radioed Lewis Hamilton to apologise to him very publicly. And then we had Vowles again on the radio to Bottas, and then also Toto Wolff trying to console him on the warm down lap. And Toto Wolff says that's because for some reason they hadn't discussed exactly this situation with him, where they would all be in the same order and maybe Hamilton needed to be ahead of him for whatever reason. is it strange to think that Mercedes couldn't have planned this situation, given that surely, I mean, considering everybody was talking about it, whether or not Mercedes thought they were going to do it, the fact that this was not, Valtteri Bottas was perhaps not prepared that this might be the case, that Toto Wolff had perhaps not briefed him that this might be the case, is that unusual, unexpected, given the points difference?
I think it's a very obvious lack of communication between that team. Everyone had their own idea of what they were going to do for the team in that race, but no one seemed to be talking to each other, which I think is the staggering point. And I think Mercedes's culture is the antithesis of that. They're very much very aligned with each other, and they're very team oriented. But something seemed lacking in this one. A whole bunch of people had different ideas of their objective for the Grand Prix and their part, and it just didn't seem to come together. But it could have been a case of, okay, well, we've stuffed up Lewis's race in that case. Let's stuff up Valtteri's.
It's got to be fair for both, right?
Exactly.
Both.
So we stuffed up your race, Lewis. Sure, you got the most amount of points, but we have to stuff up Valtteri's in the process. I hope you're okay with that.
Hamilton left Russia with a 50-point championship lead and one hand on the title. So what about the strategy forecast for 2019? Well, it's not good news for Ferrari, with the high downforce Marina Bay likely to be another weak circuit for the Italians. But it won't be so easy for Mercedes either. The extreme cooling demands of hot and humid Singapore will stretch the notoriously heat-sensitive silver car to its limits in a battle with Red Bull Racing. And overtaking isn't so easy, which puts a great emphasis on strategy, and with a historical 100% chance of a safety car, expect plenty of cars attempting a long first stint to try and take advantage of a cheap stop in a game of cat and mouse. As for Russia, the not inconsiderable straights might bring Ferrari closer to the front, but the track's super smooth surface makes for virtually no tyre wear, and of the front three teams, Mercedes has been the best at getting the tyres into their correct working range. Bottas is also typically very strong in Sochi, so don't be surprised to hear the Finnish and German anthems after the checkered flag. On current form, it should be an interesting pair of races, and I'll be back to dissect both in the coming weeks. Until then, you can subscribe to the Strategy Report wherever you get your podcasts, and you can give us a follow on Twitter for our regular pre-race strategy guides. My name is Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you next week for a wrap-up of the Singapore Grand Prix.